Oh no, my tooth hurts.
Good morning. Welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today is Tracy Erickson.
Hi, guys.
And Alex Rennie.
Hello.
Okay. First thing we're going to do is give a shout out to MP3 Skype Recorder 1.9.0.1, which is the recording software that we're using today. And it's
great brand.
Exactly. They've really nailed the name there, especially.
I thought the name would be a lot. If you told me that that was the name of it, I wouldn't say give it a shout out. I thought it'd be like something cool, like Podcast Recorder 1.
Even that's not that cool.
What would be cool?
Pod Crazy Mix Board Volcano
2.0.
Yeah, at least 2.0, yeah. So for you, it's, I guess, quarter past midnight now, Tracy?
1:15.
Quarter past one. So this is, in America, daylight savings starts about a month earlier, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's okay because this is the last week. Our clocks go forward on this weekend.
Sunday, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. But between Saturday and Sunday. I feel quite proud of myself for knowing that this year, because every other year, my mum has to phone me and tell me.
She does without fail. Did you set your clocks forward?
Yeah, exactly. But this time maybe I'll tell her. We'll see.
You won't. She'll be up time.
Yeah, I know.
She'll still tell you, and you'll go, Mum, I know. I'm 32.
I just told you.
I still don't know what I got her for Mother's Day. I just gave my sister some money, and I haven't followed it up to actually see what she bought. So how are you guys? How are you, Tracy, first?
Oh, I'm great.
Tired? Yeah.
It's okay. I was just writing some articles, so I'm awake now.
Excellent. Alex, tired?
Yeah, I'm still pretty much asleep.
Yeah. I had to rouse Alex for the podcast this morning with a very eloquent text message.
Yeah. I sent an eloquent reply. A lot of four-letter words.
Yeah, compound. It was like a compound 16-letter word comprising mostly four-letter words. It's very good.
News!
Right then. So it's been kind of a dull week, I guess, for iPhone. It's been a big week for another kind of news. The Nintendo 3DS was announced via a press release from Nintendo in typical style, just with no fanfare. They just went, this is coming. There you go. And we learned that a 3DS DS sequel is coming out, and it's going to have parallax screens, and that's kind of all we know about it.
What's parallax mean?
Well, at first when it came out, I thought it was going to be like motion tracking 3D, like that new game that's come out in Japan. Mm-hmm. But what it is it actually already exists in TVs that have been getting shown off. And apparently Sharp has been developing the technology for 20 years. And from what I can gather, it's just two screens close to each other. And because of that, they project a 3D image that you don't need to be wearing glasses to see. But they're also good at projecting a 2D image if necessary. And that's it. And we're guessing it's going to cost about £200. Maybe.
That's impossible. I don't think that technology exists.
Yeah, no, you can see it.
Yeah, it totally exists.
What? You don't need glasses?
No.
Oh, yeah.
It's like those little hologram things that you used to get in cereal packets.
Mm. Yeah, but you have to move to see them. You have to, like, move your head from side to side.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you have a TV, for example, that uses this technology, it's not as – the movement question is one to ask when you talk about, like, having a 32-inch TV set, because – you know, you get up from the couch or wherever you're watching TV to go get a snack, you're going to lose that 3D image because your position relative to the front of the set changes, right? So, but the reason why this will actually work with a handheld is because you essentially keep the handheld pretty at a fixed distance from your face because you're holding it. So that's why essentially Nintendo is saying, like, well, yeah, we're going to do this because this sort of technology makes sense.
Yeah, it's going. There you go. Tracy explains it.
I still, I'm not sure.
It's going to be. I think it's good though. It's Nintendo has really kind of pulled one out of the bag. Everyone was a bit, oh god, yeah, it's all about iPhone now, and DS is a creaky old man, and PSP was a kind of a never ran. But this has got people really excited, and now people are saying, uh-oh, Nintendo's back. And I'm sure everyone's going to be releasing their own 3D consoles eventually, although Sony very quickly said, I love this quote. I'm not going to bother trying to dig up the real quote, because it'll take ages. But they said something like, yeah, we're not going to do it. I don't think 9-year-olds are interested in 3D anyway, which contains two very questions. I mean, in a very short statement, it contains two things that you can attack. One, the idea that only 9-year-olds use DS, which is kind of a dig at Nintendo, but not a particularly strong one. And the other one is, why wouldn't kids like 3D? I
mean, exactly.
What a stupid thing to say. kids like gimmicks more than grown-ups do. They'll be like, wow, this is amazing.
Well, mind you, is this someone who's speaking from a very defensive position? So.
Oh, no, I'm just I'm picking it apart using my philosophical
skills. No.
Oh, yeah,
not
oh,
you.
Sony, of course,
Sony's
right?
Sony's John Cole. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I just thought it was ridiculous. I mean, the companies always have to do this. They always, and Sony's particularly vocal every time, it has an opportunity to be. And more often than not, it just makes itself look kind of ridiculous. But on this occasion in particular, I just thought that, you know, just saying, oh, kids don't like 3D, it just didn't make any sense.
Well, no, they don't have to do that. They don't have to do that at all. I mean, this is sort of the fallacy with competition. Sony doesn't have to say those sort of things. I mean, look at the way that Apple kind of doesn't really talk about Sony or Nintendo. Yeah. Look at the way that Nintendo kind of shrugs off Apple. I mean, there's something else that can, you know, there in terms of, well, shrugging them off is sort of a slight in its own right. But there's been a number of interviews where people have asked Nintendo's president, Satoru Iwata, about, you know, what do you think about iPhone, iPod Touch? And he's like, we don't really think about them. You know, yeah. They're not sitting there and being like, oh, Steve Jobs is, you know, that man doesn't know what he's doing. Those iPod Touches, you know, geez, those suck. It's just like, in a way, you know, I think it's much better. I wish they would do that.
Yeah,
you know,
it's better.
It's like they have their good products, right? I mean, it's like, can Sony really look at Nintendo DS and be like, oh, that's a crap product? Of course not. Like, it's obviously a great product. It's just a competitor. It just is offering a different experience. Fess up and say, hey, yeah, our competitors are doing good things. We think we have a great product.
Yeah, no, it would be nice if it was like that. It is kind of the same thing, though, what Nintendo does, where it just says, oh, yeah, no, it's not a competitor. I mean, we've run articles mocking Nintendo for taking that kind of stance as well. Like, iPod Touch is not a competitor when clearly it is. Yeah, no, it would be brilliant if everyone was just honest. That what a world.
That's the tough part.
There was a film a few ages ago now, I guess, with Dudley Moore called, I think it was called Crazy People.
I'm listening.
And he was an advertising executive who had a brain operation. I didn't actually see the film, I just saw the trailer. He had a brain operation or an accident or something which changed his brain chemistry and made him honest all the time. So he was this ad executive who, the one bit I remember from the trailer is, he's trying to do an advert for Volvo, and he says, how about this? It's boxy, but it's good. and they all want to fire him at first, but then his advertising style takes off, and honesty becomes really popular. And I thought, yeah, that's what the world should be like. But we'll see. Maybe
that's
I'll...
how I work. That's me.
Yeah. Honest Al.
Honest Al.
Well, okay, so that's the 3DS. Not specifically iPod Touch related, but I'm sure we'll see its effects in Apple's products one day, so it's kind of relevant. Yesterday was quite good because, well, it's good and bad. Good news, bad news. Tim Langdell.
Bad news first.
Oh, yeah. Well, bad news first. It's difficult. No, it's got to be good news first, really, because it's the continuation of the story. So what happened was Tim Langdell, who everybody really pretty much hates him, you know, and how fair that is, I don't know. I think it probably is fair, but one never really knows the ins and outs of these things. But essentially he owns the copyright to the term edge in a video game context, and this means that he's, for the last 20 years or so, he's created trouble for like Edge magazine, Future Publishing, and Edge magazine, most recently and famously a game called Edge on mobile and iPhone, and Killer Edge Racing he also went after as well, a racing game on iPhone, and Mirror's Edge, which is an EA game, because he's got a game, his company, Edge Games, I think they're called, has a game called Mirrors by Edge. And the idea about this guy, Tim Langdale, is that he's a trademark troll, and he just happens to have this word edge, and he kind of funds his lifestyle by suing people over it every time they try and use the word. So yesterday, it looked like he was in trouble because somebody... First, the story ran on Video Game 24/7, the British blog, and that was based on a tweet from somebody who works for DICE, who made Mirror's Edge, somebody called Johan Andersen, and the tweet was, "Yay, we killed, in brackets, DICE and EA and friends, have finally killed the idiotic Edge name patent," in reference, obviously, to this guy. So,
Is it over?
No. So, and they... So Video Game 24/7 did a bit of digging, and they went and found the patent filing on the internet, on the Californian government law website. And Video Game 24/7, they mucked it up a little bit because they kind of ran the story as if he was losing his hold over it.
Yeah.
License, whatever. I looked at it, and... And obviously, it's all in legal speak, so I didn't really understand it. But the Video Game 24/7 story came down really quickly. The tweet was deleted, and a few people on Twitter were talking about how he'd kind of got it wrong. And indeed, all it says in this document, this legal document online, is amended consolidated petition for cancellation. So this is a petition submitted by EA to cancel the Edge trademark. But anyway, we were sort of cautiously optimistic. We ran a story, Langdale losing grip on Edge trademark a bit later than Fiji 24/7, so we had that kind of extra background about how it says amended consolidation and it's not really decisive. Later on, Tim Langdale hit back and spoke to, I think, Develop.
He punched someone.
Probably. He probably punched
that
someone.
That would be exciting.
That'd be good.
But it was a metaphorical punch, at least. That he,
hope we don't get seen.
Develop. Yeah, I hope. Well, we haven't, because we haven't said
it. Tim Langdale has gone off the edge.
Off the precipice, Tracy, careful. but he spoke to Develop and he said, basically, no, EA's still going to lose. They've lost several rounds of this, and they're going to, you know, lose this one, and eventually everything's going to be fine and I'll be able to carry on with my trademark trolling ways. So that's his view, and I think the fact that this is an amended petition sort of backs that up. If EA is having to kind of change things about and keep trying over and over again, the good thing is, though, that EA has unlimited resources to bring him down, so hopefully they will. Assuming that he is as bad as we all think he is, because there is always the possibility that we've got the wrong end of the stick and he's a perfectly nice guy, but he probably...
That's unlikely.
It is unlikely to be, in the interests of balance and reality, it is unlikely, and he probably is as bad as everybody says. But that was the big story yesterday. And another pretty big story appeared just at the end of yesterday, and that was we learned the launch games for the iPad. So the two big ones are Plants vs. Zombies HD and Worms.
Plants vs. Zombies HD, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That means that I will have to buy an iPad just so my girlfriend will not have to speak to me for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's going to be
good.
She's addicted. Susie's asked me to take it off, the iPod Touch.
What? Oh, that's a real step.
Like a junkie. She's like, can you just take it off, man? Because,
and then once you do, she's going to be like, I need it. Put it back on, please.
Yeah, should we be doing that kind of junkie begging thing of being really...
I'll do anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
I'm stroking my chin. that's going to be... What do you think of that, Tracy? Plants vs. Zombies iPad. You probably knew about it 2 months ago.
No, actually, I didn't. Well, people have been talking about it, but it was people were talking about it very casually, as though, like, oh, yeah, it'll happen, but, you know, I thought it was going to be several months. I was surprised.
PopCap actually said they weren't going to do any launch games, didn't they? I have read that on someone else's site, that they said they were going to wait for the iPad to, you know, be out for a bit and get to grips with the technology, and it wasn't like PopCap to rush in with things. They like to make sure the quality control was there. Yeah. So yeah, it actually kind of goes against what they've said, but it's going to be pretty amazing. Yeah, you'll have to get one, Rennie.
The question to ask is which version are we going to get? Are we going to get the iPhone and iPod Touch version that was reconfigured for the smaller screen and with less modes? Or is this going to be essentially a retooled version from PC? Because the screen is bigger. So it means that they don't have to scrunch down like they did with iPod. But my guess is it's probably the iPod Touch version, simply because they're not going to want to charge the $20 for the version that they have on their website right now. 14, maybe it's 15, maybe it's 15, I don't know, 15 or 20. Yeah. But I mean, they're probably only going to want to charge like a few dollars for it.
Yeah, this is interesting, the pricing thing, actually. There was another game, I can't remember what it is now, let me think. Okay, well, anyway, I'll remember it while I'm speaking. Which, is it Doodle Jump? Is it Parachute Panic? I think it's Parachute Panic.
Parachute Panic, yes, it's going free.
Oh, no, it's not that one then. There's a game that's coming out on iPad. They're working on an iPad HD version. And when that comes out, the price of the game is going to go up. But it's a universal app, so it's going to go up for iPod Touch as well. So I think now it's 59p. And when the iPad version comes out, I guess to fund the development of it, to get some of that back, and because it's going to be a swankier product, it's going to go up to, I don't know, for example, $3. But that's what you have to pay for the iPod Touch version as well, which is, I think, a strange development, isn't it? Because it represents worse value for people who don't own iPads. It could be kind of bad news if you don't have an iPad.
Go ahead.
Well, I thought you could release like an iPad application and an iPhone application, and they could be different and on different stores, and you can price them differently.
Yeah, you can. You can have separate HD versions, or you can have universal apps which recognize what the device is and automatically you run the version you downloaded it for.
What's the point?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the point? Well, I mean, for apps moving forward, if you do, for example, let's say you're doing, let's take a really simple example. Let's say you want to do a solitaire game. You know, you're not going to charge very much. Let's say you're only going to do 59p, you're going to do 99 cents, because it's a simple game. Instead of having two different listings, you can have it all in one app. And that also enables, so like, if you download that, that means if you have an iPad and you have an iPhone, you don't have to do two separate downloads. It'll all sync without you having to do anything extra. So it does make sense, but...
Well, would it also push them higher up the chart because all the sales are going to one app?
Yeah, good point.
Two apps.
That would be a good question. I mean, the more general question I would have from that is whether or not there's going to be a separate chart for iPad and how that gets tracked. I'm guessing that there is, because there'll be a separate section on the App Store, but then the question has to be asked, well, does it appear on the iPad section or the iPhone section, because it's a universal app?
Right, okay, yeah.
And that, I don't know. I have no idea as to how that would get calculated.
So the full story with this is a guy called Padgadget hacked the iTunes database and had a look for approved apps and found, and the full list that he found is so far approved are Amoin HD, don't know how to pronounce that, A-M-M-O-I-N, Amoin, I suppose it's fine, Azkend HD, Flight Control HD, that's going to be good, Grind HD, HD Recovery, flipping it around there, HD at the beginning, Labyrinth 2 HD, that's going to look amazing. NBA Hotshot HD, Number HD, Plants vs. Zombies HD, and Worms HD.
Wait a minute. Right. HD means high definition, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it specifically means like a certain quality. Like, I don't know much, but I do know about HD. And the iPad isn't HD, is it?
Yeah. No, I understand. No, I get what you're saying.
It's not, is it? It's not like 720p or 1080p or whatever. So what's this HD? It's just to trick people. I hate this bullshit. Oh.
Well, what is it? I don't actually know what the screen resolution on iPad is. It might be a 1028 by 768, which that would make it 720p.
Even if it's not HD.
It's a brand. It's just a buzzword.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because you're taking these small games and plopping them on a bigger screen, and so people think it's, oh my god, I've never seen anything so crisp in my life. It's on an iPad. I've got to have it.
It is, 1024 by 768. Which on a 9.7-inch screen is, it's going to be pretty sharp, to be fair.
But here's
the
thing. Yeah, oh no, that'll look really good, but the thing is we're probably, I hate to sound really down on it, but as great as all of these games, this initial batch of games, many of which we haven't even been able to talk about yet, a lot of them are not going to look as optimized. I mean, just wait a year, right? I mean, I think there's that machine has a hell of a lot of horsepower. I mean, I was looking at some statistics earlier for like the original Xbox and PS2. iPad has roughly the same amount of processing power, if not a little bit more. Xbox had a 733 megahertz core processor and then an additional 233 megahertz video processor. iPad has a 1 gigahertz CPU, and that's not even including the graphics chip, which Apple hasn't even formally announced. So the thing has a lot of power. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if somebody were to actually really step up, like let's say Epic Games, like, hell yeah, we're going to do iPad, you know, and we're going to support Unreal Engine and we're going to license it. It's going to be cheap. Let's do this, guys. And all of these really great looking games start coming out. I mean, really, it's possible. This sort of stuff can happen. It's just a matter of somebody is going to have to figure out a way of doing it that's cost effective, because that's going to be the problem. You know, because if you're going to have games that are coming out at 59p for iPad, when you have to fill that large of a space, which means that you have to do a lot of programming, a lot of artwork, and you have to do a lot of 3D programming, and do all this. That stuff costs a lot of money, and you're not going to make, you know, you can't sell Gears of War for, you know, 99 cents, right?
Yeah, but they're going to have to, I think they're going to have to work on a control method different from touchscreen as well, then, because the touchscreen is fine for puzzle games, but think you play a game like Nova and you think, yeah, this is the best possible way of making this work on a touchscreen, but it's not good, you know, it's not like using a control pad or a keyboard. So I think to really make it work in those terms, I think they'll have to kind of come up with some kind of controller plug-in device.
Well, I mean, they don't necessarily need to do that. I think it's about as each platform sort of has its strengths in the games. In the course of a console or handheld's life cycle, developers figure out what games work, right? Like, you remember the first 2 years PSP was out, there were all of these first-person shooters that were coming out. There was Coded Arms, and then there was Coded Arms Contagion. There was a Medal of Honor. There was actually two Medal of Honors. There was a Brothers in Arms. There was a Call of Duty. And I'm sure there are others that I'm not able to remember right now. But they all, everybody was just kind of, all these came out around the same time, and people were like, yeah, this doesn't work. And so nobody's really done it anymore. And I think it's the same thing with iPad and really iPhone, because, you know, some developers have learned the hard way that you can't do everything with a touchscreen. You can't do, for example, a lot of these retro games because the analog stick just is not tight enough. I think you see the same thing with iPad. I mean, yeah, a shooter is probably not going to work. It's just not going to control well. But you know what? That tactics game is probably going to play better on an iPad than anything else. You know, so, and I think it's just a matter of people are just going to have to be brave in terms of their design and very careful about that, but also smart about how they go about, you know, not digging themselves into a hole in terms of the money aspect of developing, you know. I mean, it's going to be very fascinating, because I think developers are really excited because it's a pretty capable machine, but they're really scared away by the fact that nobody is, you know, that 99 cents, that 59p barrier. I mean, people don't want to touch it. I mean, it's one thing to do that for iPhone, you know, because it's a phone. You carry it in your pocket. There's something about the portability of that that people are kind of accepting of the 59p, 99 cent mentality. But for something like iPad, I think developers and publishers need to, they're going to have to push that price up. if we, especially if gamers want games, you know, these big games.
Yeah, I think they will. I think that's what's going to happen. That's my prediction. So there's that. I like this. Monkey Tennis is coming to your iPhone. The only reason is because it's an Alan Partridge joke from back in the day. Do you remember that joke, Rennie?
Monkey Tennis?
Yeah.
Rings a bell.
I'm going to read out my news story.
Okay.
See if you can recognize the scene.
Okay.
Arm wrestling with Chaz and Dave? No. Youth hosteling with Chris Eubank? No. Inner city sumo? No. Cooking in prison? No. Monkey tennis?
I remember the scene. It's when he's trying to, when he's desperate for ideas, when they don't like his show idea.
It starts off. Do you have Alan Partridge in the States?
No. I don't know.
It's really good. It's Steve Coogan. Steve Coogan hangs around in the States now, doesn't he? He must be heard of over there.
Went out with Courtney Love.
Yeah. Well, he's an English comedian, but his big success has been this character called Alan Partridge, which was uh-huh. really the kind of influence for The Office. And it's really, really, really funny. But there's this one scene where he's sitting in a restaurant with the commissioning editor of the BBC trying to pitch show ideas to get back on TV. Because the idea is, because in the first place it was a kind of chat show, and it was Aha with Alan Partridge.
Aha!
Knowing Me, Knowing You with Alan Partridge, and at the beginning he always went, Aha! Alan Partridge! But when it first came out, it was supposed to be kind of real, and you had to watch it for a bit before you realised that it was all kind of set up and a bit of a piss take. But then the second and third series, it was kind of like a documentary following him around after his series got cancelled. And there was this, so that's where Monkey Tennis comes from. At first he meets this commissioning editor and he says, "Well, I've had this idea, Partridge among the pigeons. It's just me. I'm standing there, the pigeons around me. The camera pulls back and I raise up my arms and I say, look at all these pigeons." And the commissioning editor just shakes his head and then he starts coming out with arm wrestling with Chaz and Dave. Though, that's a shame they were up for that. And Monkey Tennis is one of them. And now the game is coming out, and it actually looks quite swanky. But there are two funny things about this. One is obviously the Alan Partridge connection, and the other is on the title screen. It's got a monkey with a tennis ball in its mouth, but he just looks like he's wearing a ball gag. honestly, go to the site and look at it.
What's the site?
Hang on, I'll give you the link. The last
give
one.
Give me the Earl.
I'll give you the
Earl or URL.
I say URL actually.
Usually. You say Earl though. Is that allowed?
Earl? No, that sounds weird. That'd be like saying LOL. Oh my god, that's so funny, LOL.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a story on Pocket Gamer.
Yeah.
I should have read this already. Yeah. It does look like a ball gag.
The I'm going to read out the whole story. So I've already read out the arm wrestling with Chaz and Dave bit. Okay, cooking in prison? No. Monkey tennis? No. Monkey tennis? Go on then. Yes, Alan Partridge's desperate TV show pitch has finally been made thanks to iPhone developer Source Digital, though to be strictly accurate, the two products probably aren't related. Full details are yet to be revealed, but we do know that the game will feature knockout championship and league modes as well as 30 different monkeys. The screenshot so far released would suggest that Monkey Tennis involves monkeys playing tennis. This insight, combined with the information above, adds up to a pretty complete game, so we're curious about what further details will emerge. Hopefully we'll learn why the game's title screen features a monkey wearing what looks suspiciously like a tennis-themed ball gag. So it's
a it doesn't even look like a tennis ball, it just looks like a ball gag.
I know. There's no, the theme isn't even there. So it's basically a sexually deviant monkey tennis sports game. So that's going to be good.
I see what's happened here. It's Source Digital trying to sneak something past the iPhone check-in people. To check if the apps are like dodgy or not. And they've called it Monkey Tennis, but it's really Monkey Ball Gag Sex Games.
Featuring Alan Partridge.
Yeah.
If you look up Monkey Tennis now, though, there's a Wikipedia entry for it. So I don't know whether that means, like, Steve Coogan, I guess he doesn't own the copyright for it. It's probably going to be fine, but it is a recognised, it's like, you know, we're going to need a bigger boat in Jaws. Like, Monkey Tennis is one of those things that really just stuck, and now it's got its own Wikipedia entry.
And I think Source Digital guy there's a guy called Morgan Davis, who I'm almost certain is American.
Really? So possibly hasn't heard of Monkey Tennis?
Yes, so I don't think he's heard of Monkey Tennis. I'm going to email him and say, all right, we didn't go at Monkey Tennis then, and then like send him the Alan Partridge joke. And he'll probably just email back saying, what are you on about?
You can probably find the clip on YouTube.
Yeah, that's true. God,
so that's good. I'm probably going to play that just out of the novelty value. But it does look, I have to say, very, very good. Very nice 3D game. And so what else happened? Wii Rule, I think it was launched since we last did a podcast. And that kind of last weekend, that was all over Twitter, but it's kind of gone away again now. But you played it. What did you... You were kind of pretty cool on it, I think.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... it's a lot of people have been complaining about, oh, I don't want to pay for things. I mean, put aside the freemium structure. And just as a game, it's just really boring. I mean, it's just... it's obviously modeled after Farmville. And Farmville works on Facebook because you can chat with your friends, you can do all sorts of things because it's Facebook, right? Well, you don't have any of that on iPhone. None of those social networking features are there. So it's a real drag. You can't send any messages to your friends. It's really hard to find other people playing Wii Rule unless you befriend them via Plus first.
Yeah.
And just like things like your crops will spoil if you don't harvest them, which is fine, but like, why can't my friends kind of harvest my stuff for me if I'm away? Because like, imagine if you were like on a plane, like traveling to Australia, like, and you're going to be on a plane for like an entire day and you can't check your phone. Well, all your crops are going to die. Wouldn't it be cool if like your friends could just like harvest that, and then when you did check with Rerule, you'd be like, oh, blah, 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 harvested your corn and your bell peppers. Like, yay, I got my money. But no, no, you come back and your kingdom is in ruins.
Yeah. Well, you say, wouldn't it be cool? But I don't know. This isn't my... I still am confused by this kind of game, I think. I'm a very old-fashioned gamer because I guess it maybe would be cooler than what's currently in place, but I still don't think... I think it's really stretching the definition of cool if your friends could harvest crops in a game for you while you were on a plane. That's not what I think of.
Can I say something controversial?
Go on.
Oh, please.
I think that it's not going to work as well as Farmville because there is not enough...
oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like both, like, idiots on Facebook that, oh, Farmville, let's sit there, like, for an hour and water some strawberries, or I don't even know how to play the game. But
it's not just Farmville, guys. I mean, Harvest Moon's been around for... Oh, but speaking of Harvest Moon, here's a bit of scandal. Apparently, the guy who created it, who has been at Natsume for like years creating Harvest Moon games, is no longer with the company. So everybody's like, well, what's going to happen with Harvest Moon now? You know, how am I going to get my Japanime farming on, because I can't even remember his name, is like not with the company anymore.
Maybe he didn't water his crops.
He's reaping what he sows, if you know what I mean.
So that came out. The Saboteur has come out onto iPhone. I'm just going to run through a few quick ones. Something called Mooblip, which is in Apple's, you know, hot new games. I don't know anything about it. Musical, I guess.
Music tapping game.
Okay.
Rhythm game.
Rhythm. Yeah. Rhythm action. The Witcher Versus is coming. So we'll see. I bet that's not very good. But there was, I guess, there was the Assassin's Creed multiplayer game, which was kind of, that didn't work, did it? Well, it might have worked, but there were technical issues. I guess this is going to be the same kind of thing. Goals is coming to iPad. I've had enough of this game. So let's finish with that, and that's the news. And now we can go into the rumor mine.
Rumor. Rumor.
Oh, by the way, a couple of new interns have started at Pocket Gamer, Ben Maxwell and Mike Rose. Ben Maxwell has a record label, as well as being a journalist starting out. And yesterday he gave me a CD of his songs, and I think some songs owned by his record label, maybe because he's got his own band as well. I didn't listen to them last night, but I think I might feature the music in the podcast, you know, as the kind of intro music or something. I'm going to see what I can do with it. Depending on how, yeah, I mean, it might be rubbish. Right. It might be rubbish. In which case, sorry Ben, but we're not going to. But I'm sure it's going to be good. So maybe I'll even sneak it in later on. Play
death
it.
Metal.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty much. I'm not going to like it unless it's acoustic folk.
Has he just got a CD burner or something, and like that is now a record label?
No, he owns.
I want to understand the technicalities of it.
No, he does print runs of CDs. He prints. So he's got some bands like signed to him, like local Bristol bands, I think, and they print CDs and sell them. But apparently he's had good reviews in the music press and stuff. But he's in a band with a couple of other people, and a couple of other people have gone travelling, I think. So he's a bit of a hiatus this year. So he's doing the journalism thing. He's actually writing a book with, Tony Mott, the current editor of Edge magazine, is writing a book, and he's one of the contributors to that, along with Zhao, our spiritual guide.
It's all go.
Yeah, so he's good. The other one's good too, Mike Rose. Hi, Mike. He writes for Gamma Sutra. He's very impressive as well. They're both lovely. Anyway, but those aren't rumors. Those are facts. Let's start talking about rumors.
Let's get in the mine.
Oh, yeah.
Are we
in? Oh, no, yeah, you're right. Come on. So I'm climbing down the... No, lift. I'm on a lift.
Oh my god, the brakes out. The brakes out. We're not.
Tweet, 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 tweet. Okay, well, there's the canary. The conditions are dangerous, but we are here in the rumor mine, bravely attacking the walls with our sledgehammers and pickaxes of truth. No, you're not, obviously.
I'm pretending I'm working, but it's too dark, so you can't see that I'm actually doing nothing.
You found the skiving corner.
Yeah.
That's Let's talk about some rumours in the rumour mine, which is dark and musty and filled with dangerous chemicals. Sega Genesis Ultimate Collection cancelled? Oh, that's bad news.
Is that a rumour?
It's a rumour, yeah. It's not a fact yet.
It's a rumour, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
We're in the rumour mine.
Yeah, there are no facts in the rumour mine. Except that we are in the
room. That was supposed to come out in last month, February. It just never came out.
Just gone. No, no fanfare, no announcement. They haven't said anything about it. They've just gone shtum.
Well, I know Sega's been having some trouble because remember they put the Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games was pulled from the App Store too.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, not two, I should say. It was pulled from the App Store, and then this game just hasn't come out yet. So, who knows what's going on over there.
Yeah, did that ever come back?
No, apparently, because remember when that happened, everybody's like, oh, it must be Nintendo must have gotten really pissed that they released the game. Well, why would Nintendo get pissed? It didn't have anything to do at all with Mario or any of the properties, right? Like, that was the whole point, that they had stripped the game out. Or they had stripped all of the Nintendo characters and references out of the game so they could release it.
Mm.
Because it's available on... I think it's available on mobile as well.
Although that's a bit like somebody stealing your house and then saying it's okay because they've got rid of all the pictures of you. Surely... But it would possibly be Nintendo.
That wasn't the problem. That wasn't the problem. The problem that I've been told is that Real had a Winter Olympics license as well, and they released Playman Winter Olympics, and that really infuriated Real. And so Real basically said, yeah, about that Sonic Winter Olympics game, you got to pull it. And right. So apparently they just had the way the legal sort of licensing stuff worked out, like it worked out in Real Network's favor. So,
oh, poor old Sega. Now this could have been good. Genesis, of course, it was called a Mega Drive over here. I always forget that. I always think Genesis. Which one was that? But it was the Mega Drive.
I didn't have a Mega Drive.
No, I didn't either. I was Amiga.
That's
Yeah, there we go.
Amiga. By that point, Amiga was dead.
No, well, yeah, I guess I'm a bit older than you, but I was... No, the Amiga, the Mega Drive, and the SNES were contemporary, and a lot of my friends at school had SNESes and Mega Drives. There were just a few of us, the kind of nerdy, but secretly much better than everybody else kids who had computers, and I was one of them.
Yeah.
Much...
SNES.
SNES, yeah.
So you guys say SNES?
Yeah. What do you say?
Oh, SNES.
That's a mouthful. That's four syllables.
That's worse than an Earl.
SNES. Don't use your highfalutin words with me, boy.
Yeah, no, SNES. The easiest possible way of saying SNES. It.
Everybody on Earth should say it like that. SNES. If aliens SNES. Landed, they would go, oh, the
don't
SNES.
Don't take pronunciation lessons from Alex here, who was calling it an Earl.
Yeah.
Hey guys, send me the Earl for that SNES.
My name is Earl.
Said Alex. Well, that was
that's the room of mine.
Sorry, we talk about these things to forget, but we are in fact still in the room of mine, crushed by the dust of dead rooms.
Wait. Is that true? Does the atmospheric weight go up when you go down?
Well, I guess it would, yeah. Yeah, it does. But I don't know if it would... I don't know if a mine would ever be deep enough for you to really feel it, I would say. Unless it was like 2 miles deep, then you would probably feel it.
This is deep. This is deep.
This is deep in every possible sense, the things we are saying. Next rumor.
What's the next rumor?
A couple of high-profile racing games are going to be available for the iPad at launch. So this is, it was Need for Speed Shift that was demonstrated, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually I thought that looked quite good, holding it up. Maybe your arms would get tired after a while, but I thought actually it worked quite well, or it seemed to work quite well. You played it, I guess, there. What was it like?
Well, I actually didn't get to play the iPad version, like the enhanced version. They had games on iPad, but they were iPhone version, so it was just blown up. It was just upscaled.
Okay. Well, I think, yeah, I was initially skeptical about a racing game on the iPad because I thought, who's going to hold one of those bad boys up? But I think it looked good. I was one round by the demonstration video, and there's going to be two big ones: Need for Speed, potentially, well, almost certainly, and Fast and Furious. Would we say is that the other candidate?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
And if I did, I probably couldn't say.
All right. Fast and Furious.
What does the rumor miner say?
I don't know. I'm just reading it. I don't do any preparation. I read the rumor mine's dispatches. And as we know, it's dark in the rumor mine.
Yeah.
So.
You should really bring a torch, though.
I don't know. What do we think? What do you think?
Let's see. Big racers. Jeez. Well, we already talked about Need for Speed.
Real racing. That's a big racer.
Real racing. You think? I don't know. Do you think Fireman could have that ready? I mean, that seems like a big thing to kind of accomplish for launch.
They're already working on flight control as well, aren't they? So maybe they wouldn't bother.
The rumor miner says, what I will say about this mysterious iPad launch game is that it's real enough that I'd put my money down in Vegas. So I guess I would take the rumor miner at his word. So there's got to be a clue in there somewhere.
There is certainly a clue.
Work it out, people. Work it out. I don't understand anything. I'm just in the room, man.
Yeah.
You're just in the room. You're just working.
I'm just working away.
Well, pretending to. It's just hitting. It's just got a lump of rock, and he's just hitting it on the ground while sitting there reading Playboy with a torch under a blanket. Okay, so there may be a Mass Effect sequel underway as well. So the first Mass Effect game on iPhone and iPod Touch was kind of disastrous. Mass Effect Galaxy. But EA has decided to have another go, allegedly.
So have you either of you played Mass Effect 2?
I've played it very... Oh, God, I don't know why I did this, but I bought it, I played it, and then I thought, no, this this mad gaming rampage I've been on ever since Arkham Asylum has got to come to an end. I'm not getting into another massive big game. So I sold it without really playing it. I played the first quarter of an hour and then thought, I can't get into this now at this time in my life. I've done nothing but game for about 5 months. So I sold it again. So I haven't really played it, but I'm keen to. I saw you and one of our other guys, Will, were talking about it in Skype the other day, and that got me all juiced up. But no, I think I'll wait. Probably do it in the summer when the the dry spell hits. Mm.
That actually would be that's a good summer game. I think actually that'll be good for you. It's a good game, but the reason why I bring it up is at the very beginning, you play just enough to understand this reference. At the very beginning of the game, the main character dies, right? Blows up. It's obliterated by this massive alien ship. You don't know what it is. Pretty bad. Yeah, Mass Effect Galaxy was worse of a destructive game than that scene. It was so bad.
I see.
It was just obliterated by bad ideas.
So Mass Effect Galaxy was like that kind of lump of burnt flesh that the main character starts off as.
Precisely.
Okay, but it's been, you think it's been in the machine getting rehabilitated by EA?
I wouldn't be surprised about that.
Okay.
Because it's a big franchise, right? It's the first one sold really well. The second one, I think, has sold more copies in a shorter, but obviously a shorter period of time. It's only been out for 2 months. And the second one's way better. I mean, it's not that the first Mass Effect was bad or anything, but the second one that just came out is way better. And they've already pledged to do a third. So why wouldn't they, kind of say, okay, guys, we screwed up on that Mass Effect Galaxy. We're going to do Mass Effect Universe, and it's going to be so much better.
Yeah, what comes after what comes after Universe, though? Ooh, that's deep. Well, that's, I'll look forward to that. Maybe they're going to do Mass Effect multiplayer. That's a bit of a trend. We've seen that with Assassin's Creed and that other one. So, and The Witcher.
Unleash your xenophobic feet of, lusts in Mass Effect multiplayer. Shoot those aliens down.
Budgie's dead. We should get out of here quick.
Canary.
Well, Budgie and Canary are the same thing.
Are they not?
Pretty much.
Budgies are kind of blue and canaries are yellow. For a start. Well, that's the most, and that's just the most obvious physical, sign.
Same thing, it's a trick.
They're birds. They're birds you can buy from a shop. I think because they're birds you can buy from a shop, they share that in common. They're exotic. But you're a bird racist.
So basically, Alex, if you ever run for parliament, you're against playing Farmville. You're against people who own record labels, and you are anti-ornithologist.
You think
you're an anti-ornithologite.
The record label thing, I'm more confused as to what it actually entails. I mean, does he has he got a big office, and he just sits there, guys come in and go, oh, Simon, he's like, and then he says something sexual that they have to do, and then he's
I think you're taking it a bit far.
Is that not it?
I think it is. Yeah, I definitely get the sense. When he was telling me about it, he did say something about sexual favors from struggling artists.
Well, yeah, that's what I imagine it as.
I think all it is he says, "Hi guys, I like your music. I will put a CD out with your music on, and I will take a cut of the earnings, and that's it.
I will burn you a CD."
It's a marker. There you go. There's your CD. I'll take it down the market. Yeah. I guess that's probably it. But, we're going to be playing, potentially. Actually, let's. Right now. Yeah, I just played some of his music, and it was good, wasn't it?
That was good.
What? Oh, that was all, man. Yeah.
No, we should give ourselves options. So that's the good one. Okay.
Are you talking about the music, or are you talking about his request for sexual favors to the artists?
Well, we know that was you know, legally speaking, probably not so good, but you know.
Play some more sexual favors.
We've said the music was good. Now we've got to, we have to give different verdicts, and then I'll play it, and then I'll edit in the appropriate one. Good.
Okay.
So that's all right.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
okay.
It's all right, that song. What do you? Yeah, it's pretty good, but not great. What do you think?
My ears are bleeding.
I thought it was great. I thought I really liked it. I thought it had a good beat.
Okay, so there's the controversial take. The controversy take, and now, oh, that stunk. That was, oh, I don't know.
Those people should kill themselves.
That was like, yeah.
Put it out there.
I think that was a radical view, but I find I cannot disagree. well, there we are. So I think we've got that covered. We've got all the possible opinions about that song that I've just played covered. I'm sure it's very good indeed. So there we are. So let's climb. No, I'm never sure if we're climbing a ladder or getting on a lift.
We'll have to climb because the brake on our cart is broken.
Okay.
So we got to get one of those carts that goes up on the rope. A pulley cart, like they have in San Francisco.
Oh, like a cable car thing.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good. Okay. The upgrade for next week's descent into the rumor mine.
Okay. Well. I think while we were talking about it, it happened. And now we are out once again in the fresh air. And once again, I'm putting my clothes back on so that we can talk about what we've been playing.
What we've been playing!
This week. So, Alex, let's start with you because you probably haven't played anything.
I played Peggle. Oh, I said that last week, didn't I?
No, it was between last week.
Oh, was it? Yeah, I played Peggle.
All right.
And I really like it. I completed it, though, really quickly.
Yeah.
And the problem is, you don't know if, like, when you complete, you don't know if you've done well or not, because there's no way of, like, checking against someone else's score. So I didn't like that.
Slammed. But
it's like, well, no, obviously it's amazingly addictive, and I just played it from start to finish a day.
I'm not sure if I think the iPod Touch version is the best version of Peggle, because I downloaded it recently as well. But the way that you move the where it's pointing with your thumb, and then there's the kind of go button kind of off in the corner.
Yeah,
it's not like when I played it on the old iPod Mini, you control the direction with the little scroll wheel, and then you just press, and it felt much more kind of direct and immediate, but still, obviously, it's a good game. The game is the same.
The game's solid. Plants v Zombies. I haven't actually played that, but about every hour or so, I like look over Rianne's shoulder and she's playing it, and then she explains like what the plant is, and I still got no idea. It seems very complex. I'm sure it's not because she's managed to figure it out quite quickly, which means it must be quite basic. But I can't understand it.
There's a lot of plants to buy, I know that much. Another one Susie's doing now is just, all she's doing, I think she's probably got maybe one or two more plants to buy, and she's just hunting them down. She just plays it and plays it and plays it and plays the same level over and over again to earn money to buy this plant. Then she deploys it in a game and goes, yeah, that's a bit shit. And then she buys the other one. I think she's got one more left. And then, as I said, she's been begging me to actually delete it from the iPod Touch so that she can't waste her life on it. Great game. Until the iPad version comes out, and then the whole thing can start again.
Yeah, that's it. I've not played anything else. Sorry.
What about you, Rob?
Well, I've played a few games, actually. I downloaded... No, I haven't played that one, so I can't talk about it. I was mucking around in the kind of what's hot section of iTunes. So I downloaded a game called Boom Boxes, which looked like a puzzle game, and I thought, I'll wouldn't mind a nice little puzzle game to have it go on. It's actually a pretty... Well, I'm not all that impressed, really. All you've got to do is... It shows you shapes across the top of the screen. So, you know, there's like a rhomboid and a square and a circle and a triangle.
How many sides has a rhomboid got?
Four, isn't it?
Five.
Is it? No, it's not. It's four.
Four.
Tell us, Alex. You probably know.
Ugh.
You're a maths nerd. He's not saying because...
Parallelogram.
Oh, that's four.
That's four.
That's four.
And so, so is a rhomboid. It's like a diamond.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yep. Okay. What's success?
Where?
Triumph. Anyway, all it does is it tells you what shape to look for, and there are some shapes on the screen, and you've just got a very limited amount of time, and you've got to... So now it's a circle. Oh, press circle. Now it's a triangle. Oh, press triangle. And you've got to tap on the triangle, and that is the game. It's like like a bit of... it's like one of the mini games in Dr. Kawashima's Brain Training.
That's a full game?
Yeah, it's pretty... I wouldn't...
Yeah, that's lame.
If you see boomboxes in what's hot and new, and you're expecting some kind of, you know, really fun Max 3 puzzler, it is not... Yeah. That's not what it is. It's actually a fairly tedious, you know, tapping the screen.
What are you giving it out of 10? What are you giving it?
Well, this isn't an official review, but I would give it, I don't know, probably five. A 6. It might squeak a 6 because it's good. It presentation is fine, but the gameplay is very, very hollow.
I'm giving it a 4.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I had a go of Zombie. You reviewed this, Tracy, but I downloaded it. Zombie Smash, the castle defense game.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Susie played it a bit as well. I thought it was fine. I quite enjoyed it, but I didn't get into it. I didn't play it for long enough to get into the power-up, so perhaps I shouldn't really say anything about it. And the other one, the game I played mostly this week, is iJumpman, which is a kind of retro pixel arty type game in the style of an Atari 2600 game or a game from that kind of era. So really, really blocky. But it looks quite stylish. It's got this kind of parallax scrolling effect. So you've got... What it is, you're in a maze, very kind of basic, big, blocky maze, and there's an exit, and you've just got to reach the exit, and there are these little bad hedgehog-type things there, and they stop you, and they're very difficult. And the way you control the level is either you can move the character, but you can also change the orientation of the screen. So you can do it in different ways. So you can do the whole thing by tilting, so you can sort of tilt... your iPhone and your guy will kind of just slide along according to where you're tilting. You can use two fingers to kind of twist the screen around so that it changes, or you can do another way. And it is so it's got this stylish kind of parallax scrolling thing. So you're in a maze and there are these other mazes behind you, and as you complete the maze you're in, the maze that's behind kind of zooms up. It all looks quite good. The sound is, in fact, I'll get some sound going. Don't know how loudly that's coming across.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's not very loud.
You need to play the guitar.
Okay, I'll play the guitar after I've done this. This game, anyway, quite stylish. It looks nice. Good sounds. It's a neat idea, but it is outrageously hard. It's just so difficult that you know, when you're playing a game and at first you think, oh, come on, yeah, I can beat it. And then you get angry. But then you realize that the game is so hard that you just kind of die inside. And you think, oh, and you just die and you go, nothing. Your face doesn't change. You just die, die, die. Everything stops meaning anything to you. And that's how difficult it is. You don't even care when you die anymore. You just die and die and die and die. And when you don't die, you think, well... That was just luck anyway, because death is such a certainty that when death doesn't come, you don't take any joy in it because it doesn't feel like skill. It just feels like that's the random sperm that hit the egg and didn't, you know, die in the harsh conditions. That's how it feels.
I'm going to put a shout out there and say that maybe you're just no good at it.
It's, you know, that is something that, you know, we... must always consider. You know, I don't think I am a particularly good iPhone game player. I'm not all that good a game player generally, but I'm all right. I can generally muddle through. This game, believe me, is very difficult. It's called iJumpman. But if you're into kind of very tough retro games and pixel art and things like that, then it's probably worth checking out. I think it was £1.79
What?
I know. It is expensive.
Well, that's been struck off my.
I'm going to try and do. Hang on. There you go. That's my guitar contribution this week. Tracy, what have you been playing?
Well, I previewed two games. I'm actually enjoying both. One was Frogman versus Dr. Fly, which is essentially a new interpretation of Frogger. And it's actually kind of funny because the day that I got the build, the preview build, was the same day that Konami released their new Frogger game, Froggo Inferno.
Yeah.
And this is the way that another writer over at IGN described the Konami game as, I said, hey, did you know to see that Frogger was coming out? He's like, yeah, I'm actually already playing it. I was like, hey, what's it like? Like, what's it different? Because it has that Inferno tag attached to the name. He's like, well, basically they took Frogger and he swallowed fire and he's now farting out flames.
Yep.
And that's Frogger Inferno.
And it kills him. But the gameplay mechanic that comes out of that is, so the frog produces an endless stream of fire out of its anus, which it can't go backwards into. So you can only go forward. So that's the difference. It immolates itself in flames, which it produced from its own bottom. So that's the difference.
You're so clinical about it. That's hilarious. But this Frogman game is actually pretty cool. I mean, you can't get your hopes up in terms of it being like, oh, it's just gonna do Frogger, and it's like, no, it's Frogger. You're jumping across lanes, and that's fine, and it works really well, and it's really cool to see that somebody's, it's the same guys. They're called Revolutionary Concepts, the same group that did Cobra Command.
Yeah.
So, if you like that, definitely keep your eye out. I think it's coming out within the next few weeks. And then the other one is a shooter, twin stick shooter called Revolt, which is by three guys. They're just an indie, kind of little makeshift garage, sort of coder group. And it looks really good. It's just, twin stick shooter, kind of in the vein of like Gorilla Bob or Mini Gore, but just has a sci-fi theme to it. And it's really, it looks really nice. And one of the things I really like about it is you pick up like credits when you defeat certain enemies, and you can use those to upgrade your weapons. I mean, it's a basic, you think, oh, well, that doesn't like every game have that. Actually, most iPhone games don't have those sort of simple gameplay systems. And you see that all the time on DS and PSP and the consoles, but it's really kind of hard to find that, in a shooter on iPhone. And it was something that I actually didn't, it was one of the reasons I didn't like Gorilla Bob. Or I mean, I should say, one of the things I didn't like about Gorilla Bob, I liked the game as a whole. But you would go around and the sort of upgrades that you would get were completely scripted. So, and you had to find them in the environment. So if you wanted to get the more powerful rifle, you had to find that power up, which was hidden somewhere in a particular level. So that if you missed it, then you missed the power up. And so it had a kind of very arbitrary feel to it. And I just didn't like that. I wanted to, I think you should be rewarded. If you're going to put it if you have skill in the game, then you should be rewarded. And that reward should come in upgrades, right? So that's why I like this Revolt, because it does that. If you kill a bunch of enemies and you stick it out through the entire level, because you can just hightail it to the end of a level. You'd have to do a little bit of combat, but it's kind of cool because it's like, okay, there's this, at one point you're like in a robot factory, and basically the story is that you're this human who's revolting against these machines. It's basically like Terminator, right? And so you're going to go to their factory and basically destroy them from being able to create themselves. And so it's this sprawling, very labyrinthine sort of environment, and you can definitely just make your way to the exit. But you can decide to stay and like kill all of the robotic enemies. There's like little spider, you know, things that crawl around, and there's like kind of the Terminator looking bipedal robots and things like that. And since you're in credits, like, it's actually worth your while to like stick around and like search every nook and cranny, because you know, like, oh, I need a, you know, 500 credits to unlock the rocket launcher, so that way I can use it the next stage.
It sounds good. Revolt.
And they are just putting final touches on it and stuff, and I believe it's like within the next 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks.
Right, okay. Well, we'll look forward to that. The iPad will be out by then. When's that now? Yeah. About 2 weeks, isn't it?
Eight days.
8 days. Are you excited?
I am. It's exciting only because it's a new device. It doesn't happen very often. I mean, last time we got like a new device was iPhone. That was almost 2 years ago.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what it's like. Although I think I'll get bored with it extremely quickly. I think I'll pick it up and go, yeah, this is amazing. And then I'll put it in a drawer. And then, more likely I'll give it to someone else.
I'll say, if anybody is out there that's going to get an iPad, just be aware, careful not to get your hopes up too high for the games. And I say that not because there are not good games coming out, but a lot of the big games that are going, you know, that we're talking about have already been out on iPhone. So you're not going to be really wowed in the first few months. So have patience, and, you know, there's going to be some stuff that's specifically for iPad coming, but we're not, like, it's just, so especially for you, Rob, because you're saying, oh, I have a feeling I'm just going to be kind of disinterested with it. I think it's going to take a while before, like, some really cool stuff comes out.
I'm going to annoy you now by correcting you on your use of the term or the word disinterested. Disinterested means impartial, and uninterested means not interested.
Oh, true. Yeah. I stand corrected.
I'm like a superhero. I just go around improving people's lives with my...
I thought the word super, but then I thought a different word after it.
Super.
Yeah, you get the idea.
Yeah, I think I do.
Has something to do with Frogger Inferno, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Almost certainly. It's so bad, even this podcast, it cannot be said on.
So that's it. That's the end of the podcast, really. We've talked about everything.
Talked about Earls
and Rennie's inappropriate use of that term. In fact, we haven't talked about Earls, Alex. We've talked about URLs. Earls are people holding hereditary positions in the British class system.
No, that's Earls.
Okay.
It's a big difference.
Yeah. So we've done that. We've talked about what we've been playing. We've gone into the rumor mine. We've come back out again, and we've gone through the news, including all that excellent Tim Langdell stuff. So apart from that, what time is it now? Out of curiosity, where you are?
2:33.
2:30. Time to go to the dentist.
Whoa.
Get it? 2:30. Time to go to the dentist.
Oh no, my 2:30.
And suddenly Alex has become an old Indian woman.
Oh, that was Chinese, but okay.
That was Chinese? Oh, wow. Whatever. We need to work on that.
Tracy, are you saying you can't tell the difference, you racist? Okay.
And on that bombshell.
Yeah.
We are really bad.
Okay. Okay, yeah, and we've also enjoyed the music of new intern Ben Maxwell. So hi, Ben. Hi, Mike. Hi, other Ben, who's leaving today. Actually, this is his last day, Ben Griffin.
Oh, hi, Ben.
Aww.
Yeah, he's off to do. He's off to work for a competitor.
Boo.
Boo. But that's all right. We had another intern. I don't know if I ever mentioned. He's gone off. Tom Love, good name. He's gone off to be a sports journalist. Yeah. Right, suits him.
And upwards.
Exactly. Except for us. We're just stagnating.
Yeah.
Never mind. Okay, so that's the end of the podcast. Tracy can go to bed, and I can go to work, and Alex can go back to bed, I guess. So until next week, it's goodbye from me.
See you next week.